listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 26, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Good to be here tonight.
And Michael Kelly here as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here, and everything is working just fine.
And we're going to keep telling ourselves that until we start believing it. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And I'm going to forego the reading of our Principles of Belief tonight because I still have some concerns about whether this broadcast will continue because our carrier has been having some issues with their server, and so everything seems to be working now. As you, most of you probably recall, last week we were unable to do the broadcast because of the issues, but we're glad to have everybody with us tonight, those in the chat room and those listening to the archive as well. And, we have a special guest with us tonight, Dr. Norman Wilson. He's going to be talking on the topic, Death is the Wrong Word. And it sounds like a very interesting topic. And, of course, Dr. Norman Wilson has been on our program quite a number of times, and it's always a pleasure and treat to have him here. So welcome, Dr. Norm.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kelly. Good evening, Dr. Hunter and Michael, to you. It's very nice to be here again. It's always a pleasure.
Glad to have you.
One thing Dr. Kelly didn't mention about me is that I'm a minister. And I became one, if you will, not to really enhance my chances of going to heaven or to march forward into the world and save human souls so I could get another glory star in my crown. I actually became a minister in the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism because it held no golden promises or dogma. It was loaded with shalt nots. And I also became one because this particular group held me responsible for my own destiny. And I said it was time I was for that. And also that I was responsible for my own decisions. Couldn't blame it on God. And of course, the church's sixth principle just sort of smacked me in the face. I'd like to just share that since you didn't read it, Dr. Kelly. We believe the nature of human beings encompasses both a physical and a spiritual aspect that has human consciousness survives the death of the physical body. That's pretty powerful. And I'm sure as I approach my 86th year, my comments may make people believe that I have an unusual concern about dying. Let me say right up front, I believe death is the wrong word. It's a word popularized, I believe, by organized religions as one more effort to help control their membership. And it falls into the same category for me as the current word that a lot of people use all the time, like, you know, cool, like, pretty. They have really no meaning anymore, and often they're used incorrectly. And there is a phrase that's popular today that it's used because it has religious overtones, and I don't like using it. We have 50,000 Christian denominations in the United States. And I'm sure each one thinks their Bible is the one and their way to salvation is the only way. And they, no, I don't want to use the word usurped. But they have used that word, the phrase, over and over again, and it becomes a part of their philosophy, if you will. And that's born again. And I don't like that word. And so because of its religious overtones, I won't talk about it from that point of view. I asked the question, what if the traditional religions have it backwards? That is, what if they have it wrong? What then? Where is the error in their thinking? You die. What's the debate about that? The error lies in the definition of the word death. And I happen to have Merriam-Webster at hand, and this is what it says. Okay. Death is the irreversible cessation of all vital functions, especially as indicated by the permanent stoppage of the heart, respiration, and brain activity, the end of life. I would like the listeners to hold on to the essence of that definition for a few minutes. And as I proceed this evening, hopefully you will hear what the error is. We come out of our mother's womb, or world, if you will, sometimes screaming, kicking, gasping, fire engine red, and mad as hell. Other times a little shove pops us into another world. The one we knew is gone, so did we die? From one point of view, we did. Our womb world ceased. I asked the question, is that really any different than when we leave the world womb in which we're currently existing? Now, historically, beliefs in life after death fall into three general categories. Reincarnation comes to us from Hinduism and Buddhism, for example. Second, the existence of heaven and hell, where souls go depending on how their human bodies lived, comes to us from Christianity and Islam. And then there is a third grouping, and I find it an abhorrence. It states there is just eternal oblivion, a permanent cessation, a nothingness, empty, zero. I find that an affront. But today, there are those who claim there is evidence from science that when we cash in this body we're being carried around in, that it's not the end. That is, the we of us does not die. Quantum mechanics input about elementary particles and what may be called the quantum code strongly suggests there is existence after we leave the human body. And you may ask, how is this so? All things are composed of atomic, subatomic particles. These can't be destroyed. The so-called quantum field data is actually consciousness. The human brain is composed of subatomic particles. I think a little further bit of science here may be helpful. Cells are composed of molecules, and each molecule is composed of atoms, which in turn are composed of subatomic particles. Subatomic particles include protons, electrons, neutrons, and quarks. According to engineers at Washington University, there are about 100 trillion atoms in a single cell. 100 trillion. Now that's the number 100 with 12 zeros following after that. Additionally, it is said that there are 100 billion cells in the human brain. You do the math. Dr. Peter Noble, a microbiologist at Washington University, states it's been observed that genes are alive after the physical death of the body. Back in 2014, in the British Journal of Resuscitation, it was reporting the largest study ever conducted by researchers at the University of Southampton, England. They found the essence, that consciousness, the evidence that consciousness continues after the brain activity has ceased. Dr. Sam Parina, Director of Critical Care and Resuscitation Research at NYU School of Medicine, made the following statement about this. He says, consciousness continues to work after the body has stopped, after it stopped showing signs of life. Yes, I say death is the wrong word. Definitely. In the field of economics, we talk about the redistribution of wealth. Why can't we talk about the redistribution of souls? That's the energy, that's life. Dr. Hans Peter Dürer, the former head of the Max Planck Institute of Physics in Munich, Germany, made the following comments, and I find them interesting. He said, just as a particle writes all of its information on its wave functions, the human brain is the tangible floppy disk in which we save our data, and then this data is uploaded into a spiritual quantum field. Well, in today's world, we call that OneDrive, or maybe the cloud. The information stored in the 100 trillion atoms in our brain cannot be destroyed. It's embedded in our molecular structure. It redistributes itself in the universe. Therefore, you do not die. And I'm sure the dogma faith-based religious types resent what has been a swift kick in their mutual asses by the field of science. Death is the wrong word. They've made the transition morbid. Unpopular. Funeral homes love it. Brings in lots of money. I hope I have caused you some thought this evening, brief as it is. And I understand there is a noise in the background. I apologize for that. My computer is old. Not quite as old as I am, but close enough. Thank you for listening, and to each of you, namaste.
Thank you, Dr. Norman. Excellent points you made there. I find it amazing in 100, what'd you say, 100 trillion cells or atoms in a cell. That's unbelievably pretty small. But I think the point of religion, how religion has almost messed up the idea of the transition, of life. And I like it as our inner oracle card deck. We have a card on the continuity of life, you move on to the next chapter. And I think religion has made it you got to be afraid of it because you don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell. And it's all control, it's all about control anyway. But anyway, good points, Dr. Hunter.
No, I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that, Dr. Norman. You hit home with some, a good perspective. that religion is taking a butt kicking with when it comes to science. I had a little chuckle over that. I think that's really hard for most people, though, is their fear of not being rescued. And I think that that's why they won't look at science, because it means they have to surrender that idea that they'll be saved somehow or rescued, if not in this life, then in an afterlife. And so if you behave a particular way, which doesn't always manifest very well, then they'll be saved, because people want to be saved. Yeah. And I think that's, unfortunately, at least my take on it, why people don't want to look at the science. It's a cognitive dissonance, so to speak. And facts are hard to look at when you have to give up a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that the notion popularized by the religious groups, all of them, is that if you don't behave in a certain way, you're going to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you don't know whether you're going here or there.
Yep.
It's sad.
It is, and it's just about control.
So, yeah, and it really makes people very fearful. And I, at my age, I'm not afraid. Why should I be?
Well,
it's another part of the journey. I like the phrase you said, Dr. Kelly, another chapter.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Let me be frank. I mean, I'm usually Doug, but I'll be frank for a minute.
Okay.
That was my crappy attempt at humor. Anyway, you know, you're 84, right, Dr. Norman?
No, I'm 85 going on 86.
Oh, you're almost 86. Okay. And you're still kicking and doing a great job, and I hope you live forever. Well, you know what I mean. I know you will, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway,
yeah.
I hope it goes on. But you have almost certainly had to deal with your own mortality issues. Am I correct?
Sure. You do.
And you know what? We need to have you back to discuss that, because that's what a lot of folks my age, I'm just a young 60, you know, at this point. And, you know, a lot of folks my age and younger and even a little older perhaps are, you know, have to deal with that too, have to deal with their own mortality. And I suppose that's where, you know, midlife crisis will come from. You know, it's about the fear of the changing of life and changing the things and all that. But I don't need to go into it. I just wanted to bring that up and invite you back to discuss that sometime.
You said one word there, Dr. Kelly, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Overcome the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a stumbling block for many people. They're afraid of many things, you know, meeting people, going out, this or doing whatever. And I'm one of the blocks that we face and overcome those. And it's a personal journey, always a personal journey. I don't think you can find the answer in a book.
No.
No. And I'm sure if anybody can find an answer, you can.
Well,
I'm sure of that.
You honor me.
No, I mean,
hoping you give me the answer.
Yeah.
I know the answers. I mean, we've talked about the answers, you know, the fact, and you talked about the answers tonight in your discourse. But, you know, it's continuity of life. One chapter closes, another chapter opens.
Oh, yes, and you do that beautifully with it. I like it.
Yeah, that's so. And Michael, I wanted to see if you had any comments that you wanted to share on Dr. Norm's talk.
Well, like everyone else, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's truly—it's so relevant that the concept of death has been long portrayed as one thing, but it is not an end. Like you said, it's a new chapter, and the way I've always thought of it is that time and existence are infinite and full of infinite possibility, and we continuously move through existence in one form or another, and when we even talk about atoms, the quantum physics, the quantum realm, entanglement, all of these concepts tie in together. And when we leave this physical realm, you know, that's measured in mathematics and these observable ways, do we not revert to perhaps more of a quantum state where, or we exist in the abstract, perhaps, or until we move on to a different phase unto itself? And just fascinating concepts. And I've always held firm to the belief that the most interesting thing and the most provocative things that you can think about, discuss, and debate are the unanswerable questions of life.
Yeah.
The question also is, what do you survive as? What do you transfer as? Mm-hmm. And I think Dr. Hunter has had experiences with the spirit world, if you want to call it that. So have
well,
you, I believe.
If I can inject, though, too, I also had a near-death experience. And that was very early in my life. I was about age 5. Mm-hmm. And to leave the body was euphoric. But it, not a euphoria that, you know, humans might relate to. It was like the peaceful, like a clarity euphoria. Mm-hmm. Coming back was the hard part. That hurt. But I have never feared death. I think there's two things. If I can add this, and Michael kind of inferred to it, to this, I think there's the fear of pain. Mm-hmm. And the rejection of death that seems to be rampant. And you know, and I think this is what causes a lot of people some, you know, some issues in life, is trying to avoid pain and avoid death, but they're both inevitable. And I think the sooner that we embrace that life will have its challenges and painfulness, and the sooner we welcome the idea that we are all going to die, then we can shift the focus into living to question what life is in a more metaphysical or quantum perspective. And that, to me, is where it all hinges, is when you stop trying to avoid pain and stop trying to cheat death, because it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You had your near experience a couple of years before I did. I was 7.
Really?
And it was a fascinating experience. As I recall it now, and I have written about this elsewhere, but it reinforced the notion that there are others, if you want to call it that way. What a phrase. Often language is incapable of describing what is going on, but I'm very happy with the whole notion of what I am and where I'm going. And I hope other people are too. They get that way.
Mm-hmm. So just a clarification, when you say you're turning 86, mm-hmm. that actually means you've finished your 86th year and you're going into your 87th year.
You're right.
Just a clarification, I'm a stickler
for these
guys.
I tried to get away when I was my wife, she won't let me.
You know, I think that's 0 to 1, you know, and people forget that, oh, I'm going to be 80, you know, 85 or, you know, 86, and for me, I'll be 64 this year, and it's, I am 64, I'm finishing it.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So,
there's another little thing that needs to be corrected along the way, I think. So, that's great. Listen, people, thank you so very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I could just sit and listen to you all day.
Same back to you, Dr. Norm. Thank you for coming, and we'll hope to have you back again very soon.
When is your birthday, Norm?
It's in August.
August. Well, how about we have you back on or around your birthday?
Oh, that could be a dangerous thing.
That'll be
awesome.
We'll arrange that. We'll arrange to get you back as soon as you can. Thanks, Dr. Norm. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right, so let's switch gears here, and let's go to our inner oracle card deck. We'll pull a card. If you'd like a card pulled, put your name in the chat room. Maybe we can start by pulling a card for the group who's tuning in either tonight or through the archives. So if you're tuning in, this card's for you in some way, maybe to even get you thinking.
Well, I'm grounding things a little bit here from our conversation into Pay It Forward, number 29. How's that?
Good.
Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. I love that. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Really wanted to say that slowly. It's so important. Love is the center of all life, no matter what else we talk about. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
That's a good one. You know, paying it forward is a sacred obligation, and it's something that we do to help people, and we benefit from that as well, you know, to when somebody pays it forward. I know I've benefited in the past many times from people paying it forward, so it's always a good thing. You know, let's also temper, pull a second card to temper that, to bounce that off of, and see
maybe
what kind
Michael.
Of context. Yeah.
Michael, pick a card over there.
And again, I want to reiterate, if you'd like a card pulled, put your name in the chat room and we'll do that. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I pulled number 11, awareness.
Good one.
Oh, absolutely. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources.
All right, so we'll come back. That's Michael's Weather Radio is trying to break into consciousness, and so it's been going on.
I've maintained it's trying to warn me of some impending disaster, and I keep shutting it off.
The sun's going to explode, probably.
in a few billion years, it's just coming down the road. All right, I'm sorry about that, but number 11, awareness, I'll kind of pick up where I left off. This card may indicate that increased awareness in some areas is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
All right, good. So, paying it forward, increasing awareness, and that it does. You pay it forward, you increase in awareness. And the people that benefit from that also increase in awareness.
All right. All right. I have a card for you, Wendy. Now, before the program, Wendy and I were in the chat together, and she was saying how she's continually seeing the number 911 flash before her eyes. And so I said it's a rise in consciousness of what that means. And I found in the angel numbers, this is all relevant, by the way, because angel numbers by, Joanna Scribe, I believe. Anyway, if you look up angel numbers. And it basically is a shift of consciousness in that she's moving. Well, and that's relevant to what I just picked for you, Wendy, number 4, past, present, and future. So I think there's a reinforcement of something here. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: you're accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. So I think you're in a, like a spiritual, mental, emotional, physical shift. And, you know, it's like assimilating everything you've known to date and reevaluating that, you know, and embrace that and say, okay, what's next? I love that.
Good.
What's next? So Dr. Edward is up next. Michael?
And for Dr. Edward, I pulled wild card number 6. Entropy. Very relevant to tonight's discussion, I think. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy, that can wane to uselessness or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Good. All right. So that does fit in with our discussion on on death and life after death and doing new chapters and all that. All right.
Well, I'm not, sorry.
Michael, go ahead.
I was just going to talk about how, you know, in a way it talks about, you know, the energy and our energy will shift into something else, but it also, I think, it relates to how we live our lives. And, you know, we have to take every moment as we acknowledge we live in a transient nature of the world. Everything is temporary. Everything is moving. Everything is changing. But when we maintain that, you know, those useful energies or that low entropy, we find that our time on this plane of existence, it's stretched, our entropy's lowered. We live longer when we have that positive energy, that positive life. And I just kind of wanted to touch on that too, since we're talking about this phase of existence. I think that ties into it.
Good. Dr. Hunter?
Well, I think we've had a great conversation this evening, and, you know, of course, starting off with Dr. Norman. What show isn't great when we do that?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something here for each of us to relate with at some layer, because life happens in layers or levels, and each of us is connected. We've talked about that before in last week's chat. We talked about that entanglement and how we're all connected. So there's similarities, and there's something here for everyone, but sometimes it's going to resonate just a bit stronger with one or the other, and that helps our entropy, right, as mm-hmm. I see it. Just my take on it is it changes our vibration, our frequency, even one thought. You know, it's Dr. Noam was talking about cells, you know, one cell. Like, it's amazing to me. But one cell to make a shift in your body or in your consciousness reconfigures the whole thing. And that's what's so amazing to me about life. So I think that, you know, as we're connected and we do these programs and, you know, we all get together and we're all learning so much. And no matter how much we think we know, there's always another way to look at it. And you say, oh, there's another piece to a puzzle. And to me, that's extraordinary.
It is. That's good. Well stated. All right, folks. A lot of good points we've talked about tonight. A lot of interesting concepts and ideas, and hopefully things to get you thinking and keep you thinking and so forth. Now, over the next couple of months or so, we're going to slightly change the broadcast a little bit. It's not going to be a whole lot, but it's going to be somewhat. It's going to be a blend of live programs and selected past programs. But in any case, the chat room will still be live. And so we hope that you'll continue to join us for the next couple of months. And it's going to be primarily hosted by Michael and Dr. Hunter. And I'll be in around a little bit, too. So nothing too terribly much is going to change. We are looking for another potential carrier for this broadcast. And it's a bit tough to find something that will work out really well, but we've had pretty good success with Mixlr here for the last, whatever it's been, 3 or 4 years. And up till last week, I mean, we really never had any serious issues other than not transparent ones that, well, we could only see on our end. It wasn't obvious to listeners, but we'll keep looking, and if anything should change, of course, we'll publish it here. But anyway, we appreciate everybody's kind attention tonight. Thank you for joining us, those joining live, those listening to the archive. We do appreciate your being part of this. And, of course, we thanks to Dr. Norman Wilson for being with us again. We look forward to his future appearance as well. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.